Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. Our guest speaker today is Snooky Rico. We want to truly thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join us now as we begin our message.
Father, and that you would speak to your daughters, Lord God, your heart, Father, and your truth and your word, Father, that it would bring revelation, Lord God, to your women, that you would enable them, Father, to be strengthened with your power, Lord God, that resurrection power, Father. Father, to know who we are in you because of what you've done for us on the cross. And because you are alive, Lord God, we pray that you rain down new life on us this very hour. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty, well, let's get to the word. Again, we're finishing. We're in the end. We only have one more chapter left, and that's chapter 21. And Sister Yolanda will be doing the commentary on that. So right now, we're going to take a look at Jesus risen from the tomb. And Jenny gave. We went through the word last time we met. We were at Bita's short-term residence there. And it was a short-term residence. And anyway, she took us through the trial and took us through the death of Jesus. So now we're going to look at the resurrection. And I'm going to hit on different verses, and then we're going to go through some other gospels, because this is really so rich, ladies. Like, this right here is the last chapter, this chapter, and the next chapter. We need to get this. We need to get this for our very foundation of who we are in Christ. And if we get these, ladies, we're going to be so strengthened in his word. So now let's take a look. Now, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple. And this is why I love John, because he always addresses himself. He never says, I, John. He always says the other disciple. He always wants to decrease, and whom Jesus loved, and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Peter therefore went out and the other disciples and were going to the tomb, so they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he saw, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there. Now they were lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there. And then the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lined with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. And again, I wanted to go back to Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene was the same Mary Magdalene that was with Jesus as he was. She was one of the disciples, or not one of the disciples mentioned, but one of the women of God that used to go and with the Lord and follow and serve. And this woman of Mary Magdalene, this is Mary Magdalene, the one whom Jesus cast out seven demons. And she's there. And I love the fact that she is there. She's there and she's weeping, and she gets up early in the morning. And the Lord says that, you know, sometimes when the Lord wants to speak to us, it's always early in the morning, you know, first thing in the morning. And then right here it says the first day of the week. As of this day, this would have been Sunday. Their Sabbath was Saturday, and Sunday is the first day of the week for the Jewish people. So again, this is Sunday morning. And we're going to see again where right here where that John went in and John believed. John believed. He believed that the Lord was risen, and yet he still did not know. He did not know or had much understanding in the scriptures, but he believed. And again, taking a look at the linen clothes lying there. In my commentary, it says that a grave robber, when they go in, they would have unwrapped it. They would have unwrapped the body of Jesus in such a way where they would have unraveled all the linen and tossed it over. But you see how that handkerchief was just nice and folded, intently, almost intently. And even the linen cloths themselves, it doesn't say they were unwrapped. I believe as we look at the scriptures, they were left as just as if Jesus' body was just taken up and none of those linens were even touched. In other words, they were still wrapped like that. So I want to take a look because, you know, I wanted to, some of this I want to key on Mary herself. First of all, because she's a woman. And we women, we love hard. We love hard. And when we are hurt or when something happens in our lives or someone's taken away from us, we grieve in such a way that sometimes we miss the things of God. And right here, it's talking about she's actually, we're going to see the next verses, that she sees angels. And it doesn't really say in there like she was astonished or anything. It just says like she was such in grief that she might have missed that this was a God moment right at that moment. And sometimes we women can get so caught up in the losses that we have in our life or the grief that we bear. We sometimes miss the Lord and where he wants to reveal himself because we're so grief laden. So this really spoke to my heart. But I wanted to take a look at another gospel concerning the empty tomb. I'd like to take a look at Luke 24. And we're going to take another look at this because I was blown away at some of these, the different accounts that the other disciples are giving. And, you know, just like when if we were all to see something right now and it needed to be recorded, we would all have a different aspect of what we saw. You know, we'd all take a different aspect of what we would key on. And it's so the same with the gospel. We're going to see in the different gospels that the disciples keyed on different things. And that's why it's not always exactly the same. But it doesn't mean that it's not truth. It's just their version of what they saw and what they witnessed. Now, on the first day of the week, again, in Luke 24, now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them, so Mary, again, she wasn't by herself, this scripture says, came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared, but they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then they were afraid, and they bowed their faces to the earth. And they said to them, this is what the angel says, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day arise again. And then they remembered his words, and they returned from the tomb and told these things to the 11 and to the rest. Now these were the women that were with Mary Magdalene at the tomb. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. So again, Luke's gospel says there were other women. There was other Marys. There was the other Mary there. And then he goes on to describe what these angels looked like from what the women were saying. Again, in Mark 16, let's take a look at Mark's account and what he is saying. This is Mark 16:1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Solomon brought spices that might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. Now the angels are proclaiming, he is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go and tell the disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee, where you will see him, and as he said to you. But again, taking a look at this, you're seeing how another account through Mark's witness and what he's seen, what the ladies told him is that is again the angel. He was young, and he's the one that moved the stone. And again, in verses 9, it says, when he arose early on the first day of the week, he appeared for, these are some of the people that Jesus appeared to. Now, when he arose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast 7 demons. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. So she went and told the disciples. And when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. So the disciples didn't believe Mary's witness. After that, he appeared in another form to 2 of them as they walked and went into the country. And you see that account where they're walking to Emmaus, and they went and told it to the rest. And again, so I just wanted you to take a look at some different accounts. And again, right here in Matthew 28, this one talks about an earthquake that actually happened. The risen Lord, in verses 1, it says, 28:1, now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other women came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. I love that. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. And the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. And again, so this is another account. This account talks about an earthquake and an angel, and the angel even was sitting on the rock outside the tomb. So I just love that. They all confirm that the Lord has risen. And so this is a great day, a beautiful, great day. And so let's go back to John. And we're going to take a look. Now, remember, in verse 10, it says the disciples went away again to their own homes. So now the disciples, they're not sure what's going on. They know that Jesus is not in the tomb, and they're perplexed. They're probably fearful, because at this time the Jews are probably out looking for them, so they're going home. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw 2 angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? And she said to them, because they have taken my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know it was Jesus. And that's what grief can do, you know? Grief can cause us to be in a place, even if Jesus were to come in front of us, we wouldn't even recognize him. Of course, we know that Jesus was in a glorified body of some sort, but this body was able to eat food, so I believe it was a type of body that had some kind of flesh on it, or had a flesh on it, but yet she still didn't recognize him. And he said to her, women, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? She, supposing him to be a gardener, said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. And when he said the words Mary, she turned and said to him, Rabboni, which means teacher. And then Jesus said this word to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father and to my God and to your God. And that's what the Lord would have us to understand, that he is our God and that he is our Father. And he's right here. He's kind of recognizing that we too are, he's telling disciples, I'm going to my God and I'm going to my Father, your Father and my God. So he's right there is making them one with them. So Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Then at the same day at the evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, when the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Again, they were like in a hideout mode. And Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. And I love that. I love that. Like, these are the words, the first words that Jesus is expressing to them as he's there with them. The other message was that one that Mary Magdalene spoke to them, but this one is the one that Jesus gave right to them. And it says, peace be with you. And I love that because, you know, God says that he is our peace. That's the nature of who our God is, that he is the Prince of Peace. When we ask the Lord Savior to come into our life, into our heart, that's the first thing we experience. We experience peace that's so inexpressible. Why? Because we're no longer separated from God. It's like Jesus is our mediator. He's the peace that God wants to bring into our hearts so that we do not have to experience fear. We never have to experience judgment. We'll never experience eternal death. And I mean, those are like, for me, death was like on the very top of my list. I feared death. I had no real sense of real peace. I always felt guilty. All my life I felt guilty, you know, and I don't know if that had anything to do with being a Catholic. You had to constantly confess your sins. And I remember being in confession sometimes and making up sins because I just knew something was wrong with me, you know, but there's no peace in that. There's no peace in that. Jesus is our peace. He is the Prince of Peace. And that's the first word that he's given to his disciples. And that's the first thing that he does when he comes into our heart. In verse 20, when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So again, he's showing them his wounds. So Jesus said to them, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, right here, my commentary was saying, because I wanted to go more deeper into that, it's this the way that the Lord breathed on them was kind of the way that the Holy Spirit would come on the prophets of old. Because remember, the Holy Spirit yet hadn't ascended onto the people or even onto the disciples. It would ascend in the day of Pentecost. But God breathed because they were fearful. So the Lord gave them something real and something tangible. And I believe he gave them an unction of the Holy Spirit. Because God is God. He can do what he wants. And so he breathed in the Holy Spirit. And that's what the Lord says. You know, he is. In the book of Genesis 2, let's take a look at that. That talks about the breath of life that God gives us in verse 2. And that breath of life brings life. Okay? That is verse 2, chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. So God has the ability to breathe life in us. And that's what the Holy Spirit represents. It's like the breath of life. It's like the breath of life that comes into us and brings us new life. And we have the ability to have that because he arose from the dead. And Jesus wants to have us to be indwelled with the Holy Spirit in such a way that we would have that peace and the knowledge of what he is and what he has done for us. So I want to take a look at a couple other scriptures. And then this breath of life, it really comes upon us when we become born again. When we become born again. In John 3, 5 through 8, Jesus talks about being born again and the new life. that he gives us. So let's take a look at that. John 3. And again, that was in the first few books that we read. John 3, 5 through 8. Okay. So Jesus answered and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." So that is what happens when we accept Christ in our life. It's something that is a spiritual thing that happens to our flesh, and it comes down into our soul. It's the Spirit of the living God breathing, giving us a new life, giving us the breath of life. So let's take a look at Philippians 3:10, because I want to go a little deeper into the power of the Lord's resurrection. And, you know, this is something that is really amazing, that same resurrection power, we have the ability as daughters of the King to walk in that power each and every day, each and every moment of our lives. In Philippians 3:10, this is Paul is saying this. He's exhorting himself almost. He says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That is such a beautiful statement, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Of course, he goes on to say, and the fellowship of his sufferings. You know, a lot of times, we don't even really experience the power of God's resurrection unless we go through some suffering. When we go through sufferings, just like Beatha's going through right now, or any of you sisters, when you're going through the sufferings, that's when the power of God's resurrection can rain in new life on your situation. The Lord God can rain in new life, rain in new breath, rain in new hope, rain in new comfort each and every day. That same power that raised Christ from the dead, we have the power in Christ. It's attainable to us. It's not our power. It's given, and it only comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's his power working in us and through us. So let's take a look again, because I really want you guys to get this, because this was a revelation to me. And Ephesians, we're going to take a look at this power. Ephesians 1:18, and it talks about, again, this dunamite power, which is a Greek word of some kind. Okay, so verses 1:18, it says, "The eyes," this is a prayer that Paul is actually praying for the Ephesians. "The eyes of your understanding," he's praying that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, "that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance to the saints." In other words, all the things that are attainable to us. We have riches and glory in the saints. And what is the exceeding, now look, take a look at that. "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power." This is the power which he worked in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also that which is to come. And I say, thank you, Jesus. Because that same resurrection power that lift up Christ from the dead, we have access to that. And we have access to it not in a prideful way, but in a way that's Christ-like. Because it's only in the fullness of Christ can we attain any good thing. So it's only by the grace of God that this power is attainable to us. And I want to take another look in how we also are raised from the dead. Do you know that we're raised from the dead? We don't have to die to be raised from the dead. We were raised from the dead when we accepted Christ in our life, because we were once dead, but now we're alive unto Christ. So let's take a look at Colossians 2. Again, we're going a little deeper on the resurrection and what the things that God has given us are so amazing. The things that pertain to life and victory in this life. So again, Colossians 2. Okay. All right. And let's take a look over here at verse 11. Okay. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. See, because Christ circumcises our hearts. Buried with him. Now, this is who we are. We were buried with him in baptism. When we go down, it's like Jesus, when he went into the grave, he went down into the ground, right? But when we are dead, when we die, when we die a spiritual death, that happens in baptism. We're like, we go down into that water. That's what it says. Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. So this is what the Lord does in baptism. It's kind of a symbolic thing, because really when we accept Christ into our life as Lord and Savior, we're dead to self. We die to self. But really there is something, there is something real in baptism. Because even when we are baptized, there's something that something real happens. And that's when we take that, even when Pastor Fee or when you get baptized, they say you're going down, the old man's going down, and now you're coming up, that new creation in Christ. You died with Christ. The old man died with Christ in the water. You died to self. You're dead in the flesh. And now you're coming up a new creation in Christ. Just like Jesus came up from the grave. He was a new, he even had new flesh on him. We don't have that yet, but we will have that when we go in the presence of God. So again, how we are called to die to self each and every day. Now let's take a look at 2 Corinthians, and we're going to take a closer look of how we are that new person. And a lot of you probably have this memorized already, and it's 2 Corinthians 5:18. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So this is who we are. We are all new creations in Christ. The dead, we're no longer dead. We're no longer the walking dead, I should say. We're alive to Christ. And we should die to the old things that we once walked in. Okay, so let's finish up. But I really just wanted to take a deeper look on that, on what things are attainable to us in the power of God's resurrection. I mean, that's everything. That's everything. You know, if Jesus... The Word of God says that if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then we are amongst fools. We are like the chief amongst fools. But Jesus arose from the dead. And that's everything, ladies. That's everything. That's our victory. That is our victory. And he is alive. He's alive, seated at the right hand of God, far above any principalities. But he has given us the ability to have victory in our lives. So we, as women of God, need to understand who we are in Christ Jesus. Because who we are in Christ Jesus gives us the ability to know that we are his beloved. We are his beloved. And a lot of times we forget that. We get carried about in the cares of the world, the cares of everyday life. The cares of our family, the needs of our husband, the needs of our children. And sometimes we get so bogged down and oppressed because we're not walking in victory. And we have the ability. God wants us to walk in victory. Why? Because it gives him glory. He wants to be glorified in the lives that we have every day. Because it does give him glory. When I praise God for Pita. She came in, you see a light on her. It's like we can glorify God because he brought her here this day. And you know what? When you walked in, her countenance was full of joy. You know, people that are suffering, that takes faith to do that. That takes faith in the living God to be able to stand up, Or you know, it was even hard for Pita to stand, but she's here. And that's the power of God working in her life. So I just say, thank you, Jesus. He's able to do all things. And he's able to transform our lives and fix us where we need to be fixed, because it gives him glory. Because when people see you transformed, oh my gosh, it's a witness. It's a witness. Because what they know the old us, now they're seeing a whole new creation. And what are the first words that is going to come out of your mouth? Jesus did this. It's because of Jesus. I got Christ in my life. And it's your testimony. It's your testimony that's going to give God glory. And that is his desire. Because that is real. That's something really real that people need to see. And we need to speak those things out. But now we're going to take a look at a doubter. And even when people doubt, even when we have doubting people in our lives, God will meet them at their point of need. Okay, so let's take a look at verse 24. Now Thomas called the twin, back in John 20. Now Thomas called the twin, one of the 12 was not with them when Jesus came. Now he wasn't with the other ones when Jesus appeared. The other disciples, therefore, said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So this is what Thomas said, "Unless I see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of his nails, and put my hand on his side, I will not believe." And after, now see, that's pretty bold, huh? Now remember, Thomas was with Jesus when he was doing those miracles. Thomas was with Jesus. But yet, Thomas still had no understanding of the scriptures that were being unfolded before him. And after 8 days, his disciples again inside, and Thomas with them, Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." So now Thomas, he's meeting Thomas at his need. Thomas said, "Unless I see him, I'm not going to believe." Well, you know what? The Lord presented himself to him. He didn't have to, but that's how gracious our God is. The Lord appeared to him in the midst. He didn't go through, he didn't open a door. He might have, it doesn't even say he went through the door. He just was there. He was just there. And he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but be believing." And that's what the Lord would have for us. Do not be unbelieving, but believing in what God can do. Even in the midst of your family, even of those people who are doubters, even those people who you want to testify to and they're saying, "Unless I see a sign, I'm not going to believe." Well, you know what? The Word of God says that a wicked generation seeks after a sign. It's through the Word of God. But, you know, the Lord is so faithful, he will reveal himself to them. He will. You just keep them in prayer. We don't know how God's going to manifest himself to them. He might manifest himself through the word, through some type of tragedy. Whatever the case is, if you keep them in your heart's prayer, the Lord will be faithful to answer that prayer. And Thomas, this is beautiful, and Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God, my Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed me. Now blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." We are blessed. That's us. We're counted as the blessed. We're not just blessed. We're the beloved children of God. We haven't seen Christ flesh face to face, but yet we believe. Therefore, we're counted as blessed. And this is so awesome. "And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life in his name." Amen. And we say amen. And, you know, you could take a look at the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1, and you're going to see Jesus appeared to many for 40 days. He didn't just appear to the disciples only and to the women. He also appeared to many. And you can take a look at that, and it has a list of who he appeared, and that he taught. He actually taught the scriptures. And then he went to the disciples on the Emmaus Road, and he actually revealed the scriptures, opened up the scriptures to these men. And then the Word of God says that their heart burned within them because they knew that it was truth. And so he revealed himself to many before he ascended into heaven. And you could take a look at, I have a whole list of the appearances of the risen Christ, but for time's sake, I won't go through that. But I just did want to leave you with that word again, to not be unbelieving, but be believing. The Lord has a purpose and a plan in our lives, in all those who are listening to this word through the internet. I praise God that you are listening, because Jesus says that there's life in his name. So let's bow our hearts and pray. Father, I just thank you for this evening. I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you're the very breath that gives us life. And because you live, Lord, we also have the ability to have life. And not just life, but have an abundant life, Lord God. We thank you, Father, that you saved us from the death. You saved us from death, even the walking dead as we were here on earth, Lord. You bringed in new life. And right now you might be hearing this and you may not have known that Jesus died on the cross for you, that he came to bring you life. And there's life in the name of Jesus. Right now you could just speak these words in your heart. You don't even have to voice them out, but just agree with me in prayer. And make it the prayer of your heart. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you came here to earth, that you lived your life. You showed yourself to your disciples. You lived, you died on that cross, and you rose from the dead that I would have life. I ask you to forgive me of my sins, and that you would reign in new life. I believe in your life, death, and resurrection. And I ask you to come into my heart and to be the Lord and Savior of my life. And make me a new creation, that I would become born again, risen from the dead, and alive unto you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.